No, I don't want to hear it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
America, we got to have a Georgia Tech versus Ohio State game on the schedule next year for Andre and Dick Keefe.
No, the hell you don't, because that's going to be a pure D-ass whooping. No, you don't. What?
let me get a couple more recruits in here, and I'll see you shortly. Now, this is not what it's about. You already know that Ohio State's a blue blood. Everyone loves it. They got to get the best recruits. You know, just don't treat us like a piece of shit. I mean, every now and then, I'm just saying, we may surprise. One day.
Listen, I will have to give you the spread, and then maybe. But not straight up. See, you know what? Whoa.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Sean Lewis going to come around every 100 years, huh?
No. See, don't do that. Don't let Rob divide us. Because Rob tries to throw that out there, just throw that grenade in the middle of the room and then walk away and then get us going. You see how he did that? That's pretty good, Rob. I like it. That's pretty good, but I got you.
Rob, hey, that's what you're talking about. Habitual line stepper.
Hey, that's sports talk,
welcome
man. That's how we get it going.
Nah, he is on fire. Let's get this party started with
talk.
Another amazing...
No, it's not. Georgia Tech and Ohio State is not barbershop talk. Stop that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Georgia Ohio State, I'll give them that. But, again, I mean, we're just not there yet. And I still keep kicking poor Marcy every time. You know, I know that Colorado lost, but just the fact that all of the groundswell of everything that Deion's doing, it would have been great to be in Atlanta, man. But I'm going to let that go. We're talking sports. Today is
from
the 27th.
Y'all got Damon Stoudemire, man. They have them all.
Hush, Rob.
I mean, he's doing some things, getting some good recruits. But, you know, we'll see. I'm going to the game on Monday, November the 6th. You want to go, Rob, so let me know, man. That's kind of something we're going to do, and we're going to head to McCamish. So just throwing that out there, man. If you want to hang out, man, I'm thinking about doing that. Checking him out.
Monday, November 6th?
Yeah. November the 6th.
That,
yep.
Georgia Tech and who?
I think they're playing like Georgia State or something like that, but it's in the Camish.
Oh, the Cayman Island?
Yeah, McCamish, you know, where Georgia Tech plays, it's called McCamish Pavilion. That's where they play.
So, Cayman Islands.
McCamish Pavilion. Yeah, this dude's ready to travel. Hey, man, it's in, in the Bahamas. I'm there. Man, let's get this party started. Let's check in with the fellas. JQ, apparently, even though he's trying to get us riled up and he's talking ish about Georgia Tech, how you feeling, man?
Listen, I am feeling fantastic. Even though I got a couple more gray hairs because of that Ohio State Notre Dame and my Bengals and the Rams, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that was perfect on the college football picks last week because y'all all took Notre Dame and I took Ohio State. So, yeah.
You did. Hey, we give credit where credit is due. You picked your team and they pulled it out in the last second. Hey, it don't matter how you win, as long as you win.
As long as you get that W, baby.
Last second.
Mm-hmm.
Last second. Hey, it did count.
Now, when you going to go? So, I'm going to take it. And you stop hating.
Man, we hating all. Robin got it started, man. It's too damn early for all this nonsense. Rob Ford, man. How you feeling, man?
Hey, man, doing good, man. Had some really good Mexican food today, man. Had some black beans in me. So, you know, the gas going to be flowing.
poor Gina on this instance, man. So, again, we're going to do a special shout-out for her. But, again, we want to just say, again, we're on fire tonight. We will not be joined by Gary. And I would take this opportunity to talk a lot of junk because, you know, again, you know, his Cowboys got whipped up, you know, unexpectedly. So maybe he didn't want to face the music. I'm just joking. I don't know what's happening. Hope he's enjoying the movie and everything like that. So, Gary, special shout-out to you, man. Hopefully you're doing well. He's probably sad about losing Damian Lillard, too. So we're going to talk about the huge Dame trade as well. Some winners and losers, how that definitely shapes the landscape of the NBA, and your thoughts on that. So we got a lot of things that fill out the numbers to call into the show. The same number, it's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on X, not Twitter, but X now, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. But last but not least, we are also on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12man. We post a lot of things there. And I can't wait for part of our YouTube channel at some point and all that Facebook Live. We're working on some things in the background. So merch, all that fun stuff, I'm putting it out there. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to really, really take it to the next level too. So let's get this party started. So without further ado, gentlemen, if you guys are ready, we're going to jump right into the top five teams in the NFL. So, again, this can be everyone's kind of I'm going to be interested as far as what the top, it may be different order and everything like that. But again, this is all subjective to everyone's opinion. So for Andre, I'm going to start off with number one, the Miami Dolphins. That ass kicking they put on the Denver Broncos. Man, I mean, that was just a clinic. And, you know, right now I know there's a quote that he who crows loudest eats the most crow. And Sean Payton is just, you know, just basically basking in that too, man. So, you know, I know he talked some ish about Tua, talked some stuff about Nathan Hackett. I mean, it's all coming back on him. So, again, it's kind of like you get what you get. So, you know, I'm going to put the Dolphins number one and say they're just an incredible, you know, game. They look like they're clicking on all cylinders, scoring 70 points, and could have scored more. But, you know, Mike McDaniel graciously decided to take a knee. Next, I've got the Philadelphia Eagles. And, the Eagles have been playing well. We saw what they just did. Again, just that defense has been a terror. Jalen Carter, talk about the Georgia boys, Jordan Davis. You know, Jalen Hurst has been playing well. You know, so, you know, it's just a situation where I'm just putting them at number. So, obviously, you can be one or two for those particular teams. Number three, can't forget about the 49ers. 49ers, again, just, you know, solid running the ball. Brock Purdy not making mistakes. He's looking like every bit of striking gold in the seventh round last pick. Oh, my God. But he's doing it, you know. So, again, 49ers, you know, he's making it look easy. I mean, he is playing a lot better than, you know, Zach Wilson. But, again, you know, maybe the offense kind of favors him too. So, we've got to give a shout out to the 49ers. I got number four. I got the Chiefs. You know, again, they've been kind of on the outside looking in. But they're back, baby. So, Patrick Mahomes not counting them too much. But Travis Kelce's back. The defense is playing extremely well. So I got the Chiefs number four. And number five, I've got the Buffalo Bills with a pretty impressive win over this past week. And, you know, I'm maybe also looking at the Cowboys, but just that Mulligan with the Cardinals, I just kind of put the Bulls in there at number five. Bills, excuse me. So that's what I've got for my top five.
Fair, Rob. Yeah, I got the exact same five and the exact same order. Yep.
Nice.
Exact same order. Hey, Miami number one. They won the first two games on the road. Then they come home and put 70 points. Man, it's almost like they were playing Madden on rookie level. I mean, that was ridiculous, man. Over 700 yards offense, 70 points. Unbelievable. Two running backs with two touchdowns. And I'm like, wow. Yeah, so they're definitely number one. I have Eagles at number two. Hey, Jalen Carter might already be the best defensive player on that team. And
stop it.
He had eight teams that passed him up in the draft. It was unbelievable. I mean, teams are taking two or three guys to block him already. So it's unbelievable, you know, a team that went to the Super Bowl and to get that kind of talent in the first round of the draft, and he's already contributing. 49ers, number three, well-documented, really good defense. Brock Purdy getting it done, well-coached. I got the Chiefs back in at number four, won two in a row since they lost the opener. And then the Bills have really responded here in the last 2 weeks after losing to the Jets in week one. So, no, I got the exact same five in the exact same order.
Whipping up a
yeah, love it.
I agree, but let's not get too carried away. I mean, Chiefs played the Bears, and the Bears are a whole dumpster fire. No, I mean, I'll take those five. And then
but they did what they were supposed to do against
them. Oh, they did. And the thing is that you just close that with Baltimore losing to Houston, to Indianapolis at home in overtime. You're like, what are y'all doing? I love it. Don't get me wrong. Love it. Love it to death. But the NFL, you got to love it. This game has just been ridiculous. Like, I noticed some dudes that had the parlays, but they were like, I'm going to take Baltimore. I'm going to take Dallas. I'm going to take Jacksonville. Jacksonville, what are you doing? I'm losing to Houston. So, no, I got you. I'm going to take those five. I'm not going to get but so carried away because now the Chiefs also get the hapless Jets. I said, man, how do you go to the Super Bowl and win it and get the Bears and the Jets in back-to-back weeks? I can't stand the NFL for their schedule. I can't stand them.
Going into the season, you thought the Jets were going to have Aaron Rodgers, though.
Yeah. You can't fault that one. You maybe you thought those were going to take a leap,
true.
You know. But, yeah, go ahead, Jake. Yeah.
No, you're right. That's revisionist history. But, man, it's working out in spades for the Chiefs right now. So, considering that we're seeing an AFC because, you know, the Chargers win, but they lose Mike Williams. So it's a whole lot of parody, a whole lot of wildness happening in the AFC. And we talked about it being the strongest conference, but maybe you said it last week. Maybe we jumped the gun. But I only bring these other points up because I agree with your five. There's no reason to argue just to argue.
In week three, if I'm not mistaken, JQ, in week three, all the AFC versus NFC matchups were won by the AFC this week. After the first 2 weeks, all the matchups were won by the NFC. But this past weekend, all the NFC versus AFC matchups were won by the AFC. So maybe the AFC is starting to reclaim their throne as the better conference. I mean, Chargers won on the road and beat the Vikings. Chiefs beat the Bears. Bengals beat the Rams. So, yeah, that were the three matchups. So, all three were won by the AFC this past week.
Mm-hmm. Still, though, but doesn't it feel like it's not as disparate as we thought it was? You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like it a little bit. Maybe early
feels
on.
Feels like it's more balanced.
It does. It feels like it's more balanced. I guess it's just the watching the games that makes it feel like, I don't know what I was going to say, to the Miami score. So I went to go play golf on Sunday morning. I got back, and I was watching the first half, but, like, I played, like, a 7:15 tee time, so I'm old. So I needed a nap. I was like, oh, I'm going to take a nap for halftime. Didn't happen. Napped all the way into the fourth quarter. Woke up and looked at my phone and saw a couple of my teams getting destroyed. I said, man, what in the hell is happening? I went and looked at the scores and said, good Lord, happy birthday. Why is Mostert killing me in like three or four leagues? Oh, because the Dolphins have 70 points. Look, what the hell is happening? Denver, how do you give up 70 to another NFL team? And like you said, he could have got the record. Good on Mike for not doing that. I would have done it, though, just to be in the record books. Like,
I'm surprised Sean Payton and fired Vance Joseph after that job. And, you know, and I like Vance Joseph. He's a New Orleanian. But, you know, I'm surprised he still had that defensive coordinator job after that game.
Yeah, and I'm not being facetious. You know how it goes. You have a coordinator or a coach that gets hot, and then they hit some rough patches, and those losses start to pile up. Listen, if you can put me in the record books for scoring the most points ever, I'm going to do that shit just so I can say I'm in it. Once you get that close, I'm going to do it. Like, I wouldn't try to go from, like, 56 to 73 over the last 5 minutes. That's rough. But when you got a chance to go from 70 to 73 – I think I might have done that, but I always have to say, I looked up and said, wow, Denver, really? Oh, the karma's a real thing, bro. It's a real thing, and Sean Payton is getting so much of it right now, all of it.
Yeah. Even for the local newspaper in Denver right there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the stuff that they have the receipts, as they say, man, and they were just talking about, you talked to Ish about this, and then Tua was like, yeah, he's never going to be a quarterback. I mean, yeah, everything Sean Payton said, talking about how bad Nathaniel Hackett's job did, and he actually surpasses McVay as being the worst. I mean, it's early, right? But, you know, right now, Sean Payton's he's getting a huge dose of humble pie. You know, it is the NFL, so good thing it's only 1 week. You know, you can't win every – you can't lose every game by that many points. But, yeah, I mean, it's a situation where karma, man, comes back in an interesting way. So there you go.
Well, thanks.
We're going to – there's so many things to talk about with that, and I can't wait to be found about that. I'm sure Rob is probably smiling about that, what's happening with Sean Payton, because I'm sure he was pretty upset about him not with the Saints. But, you know, it is what it is, man. So a cocky son of a gun,
no,
man. So it is what it is.
No, I mean, I don't hate Sean Payton. So, I mean, I mean, he did help us win the Super Bowl, and so, I mean, I don't hate Sean Payton. It was just time to move on.
Yeah, yeah, you can't listen. I feel the same way about Urban Meyer. People are like, Urban Meyer's a piece of shit. He's just standing up. I said, man, he got the championship. I would love Urban Meyer to the day he died with all his flaws. But it is what it is. I know that Rob feels the same way about Sean Payton, but Sean Payton.
I know Saints fans are talking
ish,
so. That's fair. Okay, well, that's interesting, Robin. That's what the fans are like. It's a totally different situation. All right, let's move on.
I mean,
on.
I'm making fun of the situation, but, you know, I don't hate him, though. I mean, I'm not just sitting here rooting against him every week.
Right.
Yeah. There are some Saints fans that are doing that pretty much, so another conversation. All right. Number two here, and apparently I think Rob and JQ both sent letters to the Jets talking about how you're ready to kind of take a spot, and you're ready to kind of play. No, I'm joking. That's what Colin Kaepernick did. Apparently that didn't work.
I know.
But
of course,
the Jets have signed Trevor Siemian, and they're just looks like they're just we got to figure out something, man. So this is an interesting situation.
Trevor Siemian.
Zach Wilson.
Did they Trevor Siemian?
What?
Wait, did they Trevor Siemian in the preseason for the Bengals? But bro, no, you got to go trade a fifth round pick for somebody. I'm sorry. Go ahead. It ain't Trevor Siemian. I can attest to that personally. Like, yeah, start that dude if you want to and still have just the whole team be mad.
But Trevor
they are
that
under intense
y'all
pressure.
This Jake Browning dude is the backup for the Bengals?
He sucks too. I'm not excusing him. Trevor Siemian. And he, whoa. But, and he beat out Trevor Siemian for the backup job. So let that sink in. That Jake Browning.
That's what I'm saying. Was Trevor Siemian that bad for Jake Browning to beat him out?
Right. And that's who you said, I'm going to go get that guy?
Ooh. Ooh, New York.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. I mean, there's not many options. You know, teams are not going to trade their backup quarterback. And so, I mean, it's not like there are a whole lot of options out there.
Mm-hmm. No. It's poor plan.
I mean,
and I know – Carson Wentz reached out. Matt Ryan reached out. They're like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And I think we're going to talk about this more, Rob, because I think whenever you were talking about it, it seems like a little bit more balanced. Whenever I was looking at, like, the top five QBs in the NFL, it's an interesting stretch, right? Because there's a lot of rookies and there's a lot of, you know, just kind of blandness across the league. So this is a very, you know, interesting situation as far as the top five quarterbacks, and if you're kind of looking at this, too. But, yeah, it's
Lewis.
It's interesting. Yeah, go ahead, JQ.
Lewis. I was going to say, like you said, on his top five is fluke. Go ahead. You go ahead and do it. I'm going to let you go first. Go for it.
No, everyone, talk about the Jets, Rob. Your time to talk about that if you want to dive into that.
Well, yeah, I think we touched on it. I mean, it's pretty bad situation. Colin Kaepernick's writing the letters. They signed Trevor Siemian. It's a pretty bad situation for the Jets right now. It's unfortunate for them because they might have one of the best defenses in the league. When you look at Queenie Williams and Sauce Gardner, they got two of the biggest names on defense in the league as well. And so, I mean, it's unfortunate for them. You think, hey, the old rule in the NFL, if you can hold an opponent 17 points or less, you're supposed to win. And, I mean, Patriots only score 15, but you only can score 10. I mean, yeah, that's a major problem. And Zach Wilson hasn't shown any signs of progression to take that next step. And so if you're the Jets, it's unfortunate this is a guy you spent the second-round draft pick on, and you're just not seeing any signs of progression on his part. And now Trevor Siemian is the backup. And the New York media is eating him alive. You know, maybe he just needs to get out of that market. But man, he is not thriving in New York City. That's for a fact.
Well, and the thing about it is that I just don't feel like he's matured enough to thrive in New York City. And we talked about it. I don't know if you guys watched First Take where Stephen Smith compared his numbers through their first 15 or 20 some games to Jamarcus Russell, and it is eerily similar. It's really bad. Like, it's bad. We all talk about Jamarcus Russell being the biggest bust, and, like, nobody can compare to that. But then when you look into their stats being compared, it's like, oh, my God. Wow. Mm-hmm. Heck, well, again, you got an old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. You got to have a better game plan for your backup. But the problem is you spent that capital in Zach Wilson, and you're still trying to justify that, and that's the problem, right? That's the situation of the Jets' own making. Not a whole lot you can do or say about it for them, but it's tough. Yeah, it's hard to go into it because even if you go trade for somebody, unless they are intimate with your offensive game plan and your system, it's going to take them some weeks to get acclimated to being able to call the plays, to understand what they're seeing out there and get everybody on the same page. So this is a lost season for a very talented Jets roster, but oof, trouble.
Yeah.
Lastly, I was going to say it is interesting, right, because, you know, you bring in Nathan Hackett to kind of call the, you know, the plays and whatnot too. And this is where Robert Saleh, you came from that San Francisco kind of tree, right? So if I was him, I would have plucked, you know, somebody like a, you know, Mike Vannon was obviously going to get a job, you know, head coaching job, but I would have got somebody that's kind of similar with that type of offense. So I really do think that it is very, very quarterback friendly. And I'm not saying that every quarterback is going to be Brock Purdy, but and I know we talked about Shanahan, but he does make a system that he kind of creates certain situations for the quarterbacks to kind of be successful. So I'm surprised about that one. If you're kind of thinking of a situation for giving, you know, Zach Wilson, you know, some confidence because he doesn't have any because you keep bringing in people off the street. He's in that market. And, you know, playing quarterback is hard, right? Do you be this gunslinger and kind of learn from your mistakes, or do you kind of, like, be real hesitant and kind of be really not sure about what you're doing? So, you know, it's kind of a tough situation for Zach Wilson, man. We're all just kind of watching it right now. We're kind of watching the train wreck, right? So, you know, again, as you mentioned, Rod, you think that you have a solid running game, and then they're going to stop the running game. They're going to make Zach Wilson beat him, and he's not doing any of that, you know. So it's just like, it's just a obligatory mess in New York. You know, hopefully this is a season for learning. Maybe he gets better next year, but then who knows what's going to happen. You got to get through this. I don't know, right? You don't know, right? So, but it's
the offensive line is not that great either. So
it's not, but the other problem with that is that you bring in Tanner Hackett, who sucked in Denver, but his calling card was going to be that I know how to get the best out of Aaron Rodgers. So when you don't have Aaron Rodgers, and that's why you brought him in specifically for that guy, he is not there to bring the best out of Zach Wilson. He was
terrible.
There to get comfortable and bring, you know, what Aaron Rodgers likes to do to New York. So now you've lost basically two positions. You lost quarterback and the OC, because the OC was only there for that particular quarterback. He wasn't there to make Zach Wilson better, because Zach Wilson was never supposed to play, right? It was supposed to be bring everything that Aaron Rodgers wants to do and make him comfortable. So when you lose Aaron Rodgers, you basically lost Nathaniel Hackett, because we saw what Nathaniel Hackett could do in Denver, and it wasn't a whole lot. So, yeah, they just didn't have a backup plan, and it's very tough for New York. There's no easy solution to that. He's just not ready to be that guy, I don't think, for anybody, but definitely not for the Jets.
Right now, America, the key lesson, do not put all your eggs in one basket. They put all of their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket, and it turns out that was you can't do that. If somebody gets hurt, you got to have a situation. You got to have a backup plan and a situation. All right, we're talking about the top five QBs, right? And so clearly, this is kind of like we talked about, interesting. So we're already going to know, like, the top. So Patrick Mahomes is up there. I've got right now, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. Surprise, surprise! I've got Tua Tagovailoa in there. And I'm going to show some love to Joe Burrow again, because this is just kind of like, I know he's kind of going through an injury. So this is what I've got for top five. You can kind of go six, you know, with, you know, Dak or like Brock Purdy. But I'm looking at the landscape of the quarterbacks and all the teams, and it's Dang, it's just crazy, right? Because it's like, I don't know, Justin Herbert, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, like, you know, you're kind of just like, well, you know, it is what it is, right? I mean, I'm kind of thinking to look at, you know, what, you know, Geno's been in there, but I'm just looking at, you know, Lamar Jackson. I mean, there's a couple different ways you can go, man, so I'm just saying, you know, so here's my five.
Rob, I want to hear your five, Rob.
I actually got the same five as Andre again, believe it or not. I got Patrick Mahomes one. I got Josh Allen two. I got Tua three. Jalen Hurts four. And Joe Burrow five. I'm throwing Burrow in there. I know he's not healthy right now, playing his best. And actually, Burrow probably is the top three when he's healthy, believe it or not. I'm putting him in at five. I know he's not that cat. You can tell watching him play the other night. I mean, he just can't throw off of that calf. He can't throw the ball deep. But when he's on, when he's healthy, he's clearly a top two or three quarterback in the league. But, you know, I kind of – the top four is who I kind of feel like is playing the best right now. But I'm still going to throw Joe Burrow in that mix. But I don't think Dak and Brock Purdy are 6 and 7.
Yeah, shit,
no. I was just throwing, you know, I get it. We can see Lamar Jackson and everything,
okay,
and blah, 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 Justin Herbert, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, Lamar should be in there, but he actually has not been playing well. He's been turning the ball over and just not has looked great. Losing to Indianapolis at home in overtime is a terrible look. But longevity-wise, yes, I think it's tough. But the 2-1 is the one I take umbrage with. If you put Justin Herbert in that Miami offense with the way they can run the ball and those wide receivers, they might have scored 80. They might have scored 80. Like, I'm not ready to put Tua above Justin Herbert. I know that he's quarterbacking and he's helmeting. That's great. But I'm still going to put Justin Herbert over Tua. I think Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Tua is. I think that Tua is getting the benefit of a fantastic system with a great running game with Mike McDaniels and having two ridiculously good wide receivers and one that can stretch the field in Tyreek Hill. So I give you all the other ones, and definitely not Dak and Brock Purdy at 6 and 7. Hell no.
I was looking at the teams. I would put
Herbert 6, but I would agree. Herbert is definitely more talented than Tua, but I would certainly – he would be my guy. I would put at 6 for sure right now.
I would put Justin Herbert over Tua. I would put Tua at 6. I would put Trevor Lawrence at 7. And both of them are really threatened with Lamar Jackson would ever get his stuff back together. I don't know what's happening with Lamar in that, because he's also –
Trevor Lawrence off to kind of a shaky start this year too.
He is, and I'll give you that, but he's also trying to figure out, to me, I think he's also trying to incorporate Calvin Ridley and the money they spent on him into his hype, especially after week one, to bring him in there. But he gets a little focused, like when Odell and Baker Mayfield. It was like Baker got so caught up in trying to get him the ball that sometimes it was a detriment to what Cleveland wanted to do offensively. I think sometimes right now for Trevor Lawrence, it's the – I'm trying to get Calvin the ball, and people are like, well, we're going to take Calvin away. And you can have Evan Ingram and everybody else, but he's like, Calvin Ridley, and I'm trying to give him the ball. So they're trying to figure that out, and he didn't have that dynamic last year. So I still – what he can do, I would still put him over Tua. Tua is just in a fantastic situation right now. And he's making the most out of it. Don't get me wrong.
He's an actual football. We were talking about how he wasn't playing well. He's playing well.
But neither one of you, if you were the GM and it was like, hey, you can have Tua or you can have Justin Herbert, neither one of y'all would take Tua over Justin Herbert. No chance.
Herbert is more talented. There's no question about it.
I thought,
like I said, I'm like, the way he's doing the offense, like, you could put a couple quarterbacks in the offense and they're going to make, you know, that's a great system. And you got to give Mike McDaniel credit. We're going to talk about some predictions, because right now, if you're looking at a must-see game, the Dolphins at the Bills is definitely must-see television right now. So that could be an interesting preview as far as, you know, playoff picture and stuff like that too, because right now it looks like a Dolphins-Eagles Super Bowl, you know, kind of right now at the gate, man, the way that everything is playing. I know you can talk about 49ers and stuff, but right now – this is the way that the Dolphins are playing and bring back some stuff too. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it could be a couple of things happen too. But you know, again, I agree with you. You know, I agree with you. And forgive me, guys. Like I said, I know time whenever I say these things in my heart, and I was like, man, I was kind of jotting down the quarterback from when I was looking at the things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, you're looking at the team as opposed to, you know, certain things as far as quarterbacks. But I hear you. I mean, Herbert should be there. I know, you know, you look at who's playing good right now as well, too. That's kind of taking account of some things, too. But we'll talk about some predictions here. Right now, we're going to talk about the Lions at the Packers. And this is actually shaping out to be a very, very interesting game, right? So you've got the Lions coming off a pretty impressive event. You know, I mean, you can say what you will, physical game against the Falcons. And the Packers making a nice comeback against the Saints. Sorry, Robin, we both kind of felt that this weekend. So this has a little bit more power to it, right? So it's at Green Bay. What say you? I'm going to start because I'm kind of leaning towards as much as I I was going to lean towards the Lions, but I want the Packers to win. But go ahead, JQ. Go ahead.
In my screen, Rob is below me. And he knows what I'm going to say because he says it all the time. I'm going to let Rob say it because I'm going to agree with him because he says the same thing about every
Thursday night.
Home team
on Thursday night.
Nah.
Unless it's just a clear mismatch. Yeah. I mean, and then you look at week one, Detroit went on the road on Thursday night, but they hadn't played in over a week and a half, you know. But that was the first game of the season, so they're not coming off of a short week, right? And – I'm going with the Packers. You know my philosophy. Unless it's just a huge mismatch, and I think these teams are probably a lot close. And it looks like the Packers may get Christian Watson and Aaron Jones back. I mean, they're 2-1
right
now. And those two guys. Well, Aaron Jones did play Week One, but those two guys look like they're going to be back on tomorrow. So I think it's going to be a competitive football game. It's going to be tough. I'm going to say the Packers win by a field goal, 23-20 at home.
I told you I was just say it, so you didn't have to waste the time listening to me.
All right, gentlemen, game of the week. The Bills. So Bills defense is playing pretty well, but this is a whole other situation with the Dolphins. I know, you know, The Bills have been put on notice. Oh, damn, you ain't scoring 30 points on this offense. So that's pretty rare. But, you know, who can stop it off? Can the Bills stop it? You know, Josh Allen going to be the – I'm picking the Dolphins in this, you know, right now, only because of the situation where I think the Bills are going to do something stupid. They're going to kind of force Josh Allen to kind of play Superman all the time. They're not going to want to run the ball. And I think that the Dolphins are just going to keep – you know, they're just going to keep rolling, man. This is going to be a great, great game, man. I'm predicting like a high scoring like 37, like 30 games, something like that. That's what I'm seeing.
I agree. It's hard to pick against the Dolphins, and every time the Bills get matched up against another high power team, the Bengals or the Chiefs, it feels like Josh Allen presses. He tries to do too much, and then his presses, he tries to get Stephon Diggs to try to do too much. And I don't know how they're gonna move him around to keep him off of Xavier Howard. In that matchup, because I would like Xavier Howard in that matchup as well. He's a pretty good shutdown corner. You got to get the Dolphins right now while Jalen Ramsey is hurt. But until I see, you know, Josh Allen not make the mistakes that we've seen him make in big games, trying to do much as hard to pick the Bills in this game, even though they're at home. And, of course, you know, you're not expecting the Dolphins to put 70 points up. That's just ridiculous. The Bills' defense is way better than that. But I just feel like that Dolphins offense is rolling pretty good. Mike McDaniels and his play calling and his ability to make adjustments off of what you try to do to his play calling has been pretty top-notch. He's a little bit of a weirdo, but he's a little bit of a cool weirdo to me. He just don't give a damn. He
just seems like a cool cat, don't he?
He does. I would love to hang out with Mike. He seems like a cool dude. He marches to the beat of his own drum, but that dude is smart and gifted in what he does, and he has a talented roster. I think I told you the last year, the year before last, that the Dolphins reminded me a lot of the Bengals and their ascension of they collected a quarterback on a rookie deal. They went and got Tyree, you got Jalen Waddle, you got Xavier Howard, you went and go trade for Jalen Ramsey, even though he's hurt. Like, they have the pieces in place. They got a solid running game with his San Francisco philosophy. Like, they just, to me, look like one of those teams that is ready just to take off and be a whole problem, and I don't like it, but I'm going to go with the Dolphins. If I see Josh Allen not make those mistakes, I can't trust him in a big game right now.
Yeah, and if you look at this matchup here, if you're the Dolphins, you got to be, hey, man, we're going at Buffalo in September. Well, technically October 1st, this coming Sunday. It sets up well for the Dolphins not have to go to Buffalo in December and January. That being
right.
said, I'm going to take Buffalo, though. I'm going to take Buffalo at home. I'm pulling for Miami. I like to see Miami win the game personally, but I'm going to pick Buffalo 34-31, but I still think Miami in the game is going to be the better team. I'm just going to pick Buffalo because they're at home. I think it's going to be a shootout, another field goal win for the home team by Buffalo, 34-31.
And again, if Buffalo wins this game, I wouldn't be surprised. It's just that it's hard for me, the same way we talked about Ole Miss and Alabama last week, it's hard for me to say for Josh Allen that his track record of what happens in big games where he makes critical turnovers at the wrong time to put a lot of faith in them only because he holds them back a little bit, kind of like Dak throwing the triple coverage against Arizona. Like those things they do in these moments that holds them back, that it's hard for me to pick them, you know, beforehand. But the Buffalo is a talented team. I could see them winning it. I just can't trust Josh Allen right now, so I've seen him do it a couple of times.
Good stuff. All right, so we got the Ravens at the Browns. Which Ravens team shows up, right? So this asks the question, right? So, you know, again, Myles Garrett's been on a nice little tear. This is an interesting matchup. What's to you? I'm going to throw it out to you, Rob, coming out the gate with this one now. What's your thoughts?
I guess my trend so far is I'm picking the home teams. I'm picking the home teams again here. I'm going to pick the Browns. And when you look at it, the Browns are 2-1, and they very well could have beat the Steelers in the game that they lost. A few mistakes, you know, they really beat themselves in that football game. This team could really be 3-0. Deshaun Watson played his best game in 2 to 3 years the other day. I forgot who they played, Titans. He was phenomenal this past week. The offensive line, their defense looked really good too. And the Ravens are not, to me, not playing their best ball. And the Ravens have a ton of injuries. It seems like every year they're having injuries here of late. So I'm going to pick the Browns here in this game. And I'm going to pick them to win by 10. I'm going to go 23-13, Browns.
Ooh. Well, you know, I hope this game ends in a 0-0 tie. But that Browns defense has looked really good. We've been a victim to it. And you watch what they did to Tennessee. I mean, I think they held Derrick Henry to 20 freaking yards in that game, which says a lot about that Browns defense. But the only reason why I picked the Ravens is because I think Harbaugh is going to have their attention, even with the injuries. That's embarrassing to lose to Indianapolis last week. It's embarrassing for them to lose to them. And he didn't have the attention before that game. He damn sure has the attention now. For them to drop to 2-2 and lose to the Browns after losing to Indianapolis, there's no good reason. You're right. They're injured. They beat up. But Deshaun is so up and down as well. That Ravens defense, for the most part, you know what you're going to get out of them. I was shocked that they allowed the Colts to move the ball on them like that. And, again, you could say that they was a pass interference call. They should have gotten away from beating the Colts in that game. I just don't see them losing back-to-back games. I hate the Ravens, too, but they're a really well-coached team. I just feel like the Ravens are going to find a way to win that game.
I can see that happening, too. I can see the Ravens pulling it out as well, so I'm kind of leaning towards that. You know, just because of just that letdown, if you will, because like you said, which team is going to show up? So I think Harbaugh, this is enough. They learned their lesson. They're going to come out ready to play, so that's what I'm thinking. Of course, we know that the league hates Sean Watson, so a whole other conversation. All right.
Yeah, he no call.
This is an interesting matchup. You got an NFC South matchup. You got a resurgent Baker Mayfield and the Bucks coming to an interesting situation with the Saints. They're obviously, losing Derek Carr was a huge blow. You got Jameis taking the reins. I'm going to let you have this one, Rob, because, look at JQ shaking his head. Why are you shaking your head, JQ?
Oh, and they lost Mate to that 3-game suspension. And that's big, and that back end for the Saints defense. But go for it, Rob. The show team, unless you have it for show.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the home team here. I'll be at the game on Sunday. I'm taking the Saints. I'm picking the home team here. I think it's going to be 23-14. The Saints getting Alvin Kamara back. The Saints have been struggling running the football to start this season. So getting Kamara back is going to be huge for that offense for the Saints this coming weekend. And, yeah, losing Marcus May was kind of tough, but Jordan Howland stepped in, played really well, rookie out of Minnesota at the safety spot. The Saints secondary has been outstanding so far this season. Alante Taylor, Marshawn Lattimore. I know Paulson Adebo didn't practice today, so that might be a blow. You know, I think the Saints will win this game at home. Quarterback-wise, I think the two teams will be kind of fairly equal. But I think getting Kamara back is going to be a big help for the Saints because they've really been struggling running the football this year, except for the game against Carolina.
Man, this one, I still don't have a pick. Like, I just don't feel good about either one of them. I just don't feel good about Jameis Winston. I don't. He's sucking his fingers and being crazy. Like, I don't trust Jameis Winston. But the thing about it is, we talk about it every year, I love watching Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore go at it because they're going to get into at least one fight in this game. And it's a great game to watch. So, it's hard for me to pick against the Saints at home. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with the Saints at home in a really close game. I waffled on this one, and I think this is one of the ones where I think the home field advantage and just that grudge match that Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans had. If the Saints didn't have Lattimore and his history against Mike Evans, if it wasn't so freaking personal, I probably would have taken the buck. But if you can neutralize Mike Evans on that outside and Marshawn Lattimore, and he takes it so personally, that I think he can make up for some of those mistakes that Jameis might make, and you also get a healthy, motivated Alvin Kamara to come back and say, hey, don't forget about me. I'm still that guy. I'm going to go with the Saints, but I don't really feel great about it because of Jameis Winston, not because of anything else the Saints do. The Saints have a good defense. I picked them in a whole bunch of leagues because they don't play no quarterbacks this year, like none. You go look at the Saints schedule, they don't play no quarterbacks this year. It's ridiculous. I have a video I've gotten I saw before I drafted and said, well, damn, how do I not take the Saints defense? They don't play fucking nobody. So that piece of it.
Every team in our division don't play any quarterbacks, though.
Yeah, and they don't. But the Saints, out of all of them, have the best defense. And they've had for years, right? So you have to give them that credit and that lean. So being in New Orleans, if this game was in Tampa, I might have taken the Bucs. But since this game is in New Orleans, I'm going to take New Orleans.
No, I agree with you. I'm a Saints fan, and if this game was in Tampa, I would pick the Bucs too.
All right, the final game, we've got the Commanders licking their wounds against an ass kicking with the Bills, 37-3. I still think they're going to get another ass kicking here because Sam Howell is a young guy, and that Eagles defense is not letting up. So, unfortunately for the Commanders, you're going to have to buck up and you're going to have to take your whooping, man. Come and get your whooping. What was that? Was that on come and get your whooping, man. So that's what's going to happen, man.
That was Evander Holyfield and Charlie Steiner,
Charlie,
come on out and get your whooping.
So they're going to go ahead, come and get your whooping, Commanders. Just take it, you know. Hopefully you'll score 10 points. Maybe it'll be more respectable, but other than that, Eagles all the way.
They're going to score more than 10 points.
Yeah, I'm consistent here. I picked all the home teams on all my picks. I'm going to pick the Eagles, and this one I don't think is going to be close.
I think
I'm going to go 30-10 Eagles.
Okay. I think if this hadn't been a divisional game, that Washington probably could have snuck up on the Eagles, sleepy, coming off of beating the Bucs, feeling good about themselves, everybody picking them, walk in. But this being a divisional game changes the whole narrative on that. They want to beat the brakes off Washington. And, like you said, Sam Howell's a young quarterback. The defense, to me, has been a little leaky in the first couple of weeks. They clamped down a little bit on Tampa the other night. But those first 2 weeks, they gave some points to the Vikings and to the Eagles playing the week two. But they gave up points in both those games. But I just feel like, you know, it being a divisional game, they want to make a statement. They want to sweep that division to make a statement that all these people you come out, it's the second best division in the league or the best division in the league. They're coming for our title. I think the Eagles have heard that, and they'll have their attention. Sirianni is an asshole, and I'm pretty sure that he hits that home. He's going to hit that home all week. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think they win by 14.
I'm saying 30-10 like you, Rob. I'm going all in. They're going to beat the brakes off of the Commanders. It's all good. Because, you know, Sam Howell's going to throw some, you know, he's going to get hit. Thinking that defensive line's going to get all over.
It's going to have a little couple of wrinkles for them. But I think the Eagles is just a better team.
Absolutely. Hey, Rob, is this a fantasy shout-out?
All right, fantasy shout-outs. League number one, the biggest week of the win. Biggest win of the week. Did I say biggest week of the win?
Yes, you did.
It's all good.
Oh, it's 11:45 Eastern time, people, America. All right. The biggest win of the week, Irv from Atlanta. Big, fast, and strong. His team beat Lions King 138.86 to 112.16. And head of table, Chris has Orlando. Awesome. His team is in first place with a 2-1 record. And league number two, biggest win of the week is Hunk Smash. It's Chester from New Orleans. He beat ATL Black Belt 153.52 to 112.26. And JQ's team in first place at 3-0. And league number three, Paul sensational team is Paul from Atlanta with a 134.88 win over Saints Pelicans 23.90.92. Paul sensational team also in first place at 3-0. And last but not least, league number four, biggest win of the week, Bully P. That's Paul from Atlanta again, 162.58 over Blindfolded 78.96.
Damn.
And Chester's team in New Orleans in first place at 3-0. Those are your fantasy shout-outs of week number three on the week four.
I only got one of the three that's good, and I'll take it.
It's all good. I want to quickly talk about Orioles legend Brooks Robinson, who passed 86. This dude was probably one of the best fielding third basemen probably in baseball history. There's been a lot of great third basemen, but he won 18 consecutive Gold Gloves. I was looking up the history. Only Greg Maddux had the most at his position. So you talk about the slick fielding third baseman. He talked about how he was on a lot of winning teams. They called him the human vacuum cleaner, and just he was just outstanding as far as what he played. He's just a great person, great player. And again, it talks about how the Orioles beat the Dodgers, like, I guess, four straight games or something like that. It was crazy when I was looking at the picture, too. But just he was known more for his fielding, but just a great player all around, too. So just want to give a shout-out to him and he was able to stand with him. And a great name. What a great name, Brooks Robinson. Brooks is always a great name, too. So that's something I always thought, too. So that's
And you see that play that they show all the time against the Reds. I think it's in the 1970 World Series where he goes across the third baseline to scoop it up. And so was him out of first base. Yeah, Brooks Robinson is just a beast. RIP, shout out to his family. Hope, you know, they're dealing with it the best they can. But, yeah, Brooks is the legend of the game, man. The baseball lost the Titans.
Yep.
Yeah.
18 All-Star appearances, 16 Gold Gloves, 2,848 hits. And, of course, led the Baltimore Orioles for their first two World Series titles in 66 and 70. Definitely lost a legend there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, Orioles are going to be honoring him the rest of the season, but wearing his number on his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some legends, the Cal Ripkins of the world, the Brooks Robinson, so just always good to see the Orioles. And the Orioles, they're bringing this back. We're going to talk about how they can make some hay, obviously, going into the playoffs. We'll talk, I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk about the playoff pitcher, because I know we want to get into college football, too, but just some good stuff. So, let's really briefly talk about I do want to talk about the big news, the trade, if we can, because I know we've got about 10 minutes here. I want to get some other too. So just your thoughts. You know, obviously we were kind of going back and forth in text, and what an interesting move. If you are the Bucks, you know, you're getting, you know, pairing Dame with, you know, Giannis, it's almost not freaking fair. And I think you send the picture, Rob. You're looking at the lineup. You know, you got Lopez, you got freaking Giannis. I mean, this is a tall team. This is an athletic team. Now you add Dame. I mean, damn. I mean, are they the favorites to win the NBA titles is the question.
I tell you what, I would put them number one in the East right now. I'll tell you that.
Over Boston?
You got to see how that Phoenix team is going to shake out in the West with Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant. Now they have Nurkic at center. Don't know who point guard is going to be for Phoenix, who's going to be the primary ball handler. But I want to give for me. I just need somebody to pass the ball, right? They don't have to shoot.
Not at all.
Somebody that can lead the team in assists.
That's it.
He should.
I almost want to lean toward Milwaukee being the favorite just because we have seen Giannis win the title, right? We haven't seen Kevin Durant lead a team to a title outside of being, you know, him joining Golden State, right? You know, he joined a team that was already a champion. And so I almost want to say Milwaukee is the favorite now. Giannis has led a team to the title. He's getting Dame Lillard. You know, they got some other solid role players on that roster, too. And I don't know if they make any other moves as well. I just wonder how much of Jrue Holiday's defensive impact is going to lose in that.
That's
going to hurt him.
Yeah.
Now, Dame Lillard is a big-time game shooter, right? And that's the thing that Giannis or Milwaukee didn't have on the team, somebody that can hit big-time shots in a clutch.
Game.
And Giannis is not even on for that. So I think that's going to be a big advantage for Milwaukee. But I would, if they're healthy, I would think that they're or the favorites. I still wonder how much the Celtics are going to lose in toughness with getting rid of Marcus Smart. I know they got Porzingis, who make them put up more numbers than Marcus Smart, but, you know, how tough are they going to be without Marcus Smart now, right? And Miami got rid of a lot of pieces because they were banking on getting Damian Lillard now. So now you have to wonder what kind of depth Miami's going to have because they cleared a lot of salary cap space because they thought they had the best shot of getting Damian Lillard, but that didn't happen either. So I'm going to say Milwaukee is a favorite in the East. Hey, we don't know what's going to happen with James Harden and the Sixers. I mean, could turn into be a dumpster fire. So I'm going to say Milwaukee is not only the favorite in the East, but I think they're on paper. I think they're a favorite to win it all.
Yeah, man. I was like, I mean, Milwaukee Phoenix is a dream, but it came a lot different what they just did. But yeah, man, you talking about that Dame and y'all pick and roll. You got Brook Lopez who can go in and outside. If Chris Moses' bulky knee will hold up, you have that piece of it as well. Milwaukee's going to be a whole problem. You just detailed it. Do you really believe in Philadelphia to get to the NBA Finals? No. Not saying they aren't talented, but do you believe in what you just saw? No. You look at Boston, you gave all that money to Jalen and Jason. Jalen Brown still ain't got no left hand. I don't know what he's doing right now, but I bet you ain't working on that left hand. So, and they lost Marcus Smart. So, you got that piece of it as well. I agree with you, Miami. Miami got on a good roll, but they also benefited from having a hurt Giannis early in that series to take advantage of that. And the win kind of going out of the sales in Milwaukee. That doesn't happen this year if both those teams are both healthy. That is listen, I give Milwaukee's front office a ton of credit. Yeah, that contract might not age gracefully, but when you have Giannis there, who, like you said, won me a title, I've already locked up Middleton. I got, he's got 2-3 years still left on that contract. You see what he can do. Like, do you have to have that defensive guy in Jrue Holiday when you have a dude that in that big role that can do that, and you're already down? You don't necessarily maybe have that as many tight games. You're going to have some in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. But throughout the season, how many of those tight games are going to be in when he's just going nuclear because who are you going to double? And if you double one of them, you can't double them both, the other person's just going to go ridiculously nuts. The only thing about it is that they may not end up with the best record because it's going to take a couple weeks. You know, it's going to take some games for them to figure out, you take it, I take it, we see this, how do we, you know, face this defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get rolling downhill. If those who stay healthy, Milwaukee's a whole problem. Like I said, I give them a ton of credit for saying, I heard what you said, Giannis. Let's go do something about it. We want you to stay here. The best way to keep you in Milwaukee is go get Dame Lillard. Fantastic.
Yeah.
They didn't give him a lot, man. They didn't give him a lot at all. You know, if you look at it, it's just like, man, it's kind of a three-train trail. You're like, but I agree with you. We got Naj on too. But
I mean,
it's basically a straight-up
trade. Jrue Holiday for Dame Lillard, if you look at it. I mean, I know they had to give up a future first-round pick. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have made that deal with
him. So,
but
you're right.
I'm going to see what happens with that defense, with that defensive situation, because – they do have to have a defensive player because you are going to they are going to you know they need somebody to shut down people. So Drew did a good job with that too.
You can go trade for somebody or somebody that's still out there or make it happen because then you walk in knowing that all I have to do is play defense. I don't really have to score. All I have to do is not be a liability on offense. If I can make a couple shots here and there and facilitate offense and play defense, I want to now go live in Milwaukee and play for that team because they have a fantastic shot to go win it all. So when you make that trade, those dudes that are out there, those 3-and-D dudes that you're not sure are having to pay a ton of money for, you made Milwaukee a destination. And who the hell says that?
That's crazy. A Matisse Thybulle may be a good fit for them, like a Matisse Thybulle, just somebody that's known for being a defensive stopper, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you open up a lot with that, too. So, Naj, are you on, my guy?
Yeah, man. What's up, y'all?
What up, baby?
Hey, man, you're joining us late, man. So you got to get your coffee real quick, man.
Dude, I can sum this up real quick. First things first, as y'all stated, they're going to be a whole problem. Milwaukee, Boston, Eastern Conference Finals, we can go ahead and book that, man. Sorry to the rest of the Eastern contenders, man. Y'all just hoping to advance to the quarterfinals. Y'all not making it to the finals. the spacing issue is the thing that stands out the most. Giannis has never played with somebody who can create space like Dame. Range out to the volleyball line, almost the logo, you might as well say. So how do you deal with Giannis in space now? Like, bro, that's going to be a problem. But as far as the trade, yeah, this, if you're Milwaukee, you're happy. If you're Portland, I don't know how you accepted that. I think they should have got a much better trade than what they ended up taking. But this goes to the godfather, Pat Riley. This whole idea of I'm going to stare you down and say this is the offer, find a better one. Well, dude, these are humans and people got emotions. People don't like somebody trying to, if I can use the King's English, hoe them. And when you're trying to hoe somebody publicly, sometimes they might take a lesser deal just to spite you. So Pat Riley made a huge mistake in his assessment of the Portland front office and their thinking by not just overloading and just giving them whatever they wanted to get the deal done. Instead, he tried to go, you know, penny for penny, and he ended up on the outs because of that. As far as Holiday, last time we saw him, Jimmy Butler was cooking him. So, I mean, if you're this prime defender who's paid to be a prime defender, I'm sorry, brother. Yeah, you can go. Like, it's not that serious.
Jimmy Butler cooked a lot of people in the playoffs, though. But I get you. I get you.
Holiday is supposed to be a special guy defensively.
I know.
We may see a reunion with him in Philly. A reunion with him in Philly sounds like a possibility. But ultimately,
Portland is probably going to trade Holiday to a contender, so he won't remain in Portland.
No, he's not going to be there. They got a rebuild going. But the last thing I wanted to say, just real quick, this goes to show you the whole – remember we talked about that player empowerment, all these people talking that player empowerment stuff? The front offices still have the power. Like, stop it with this player empowerment stuff. And today, you better get a little more James Harden in you next time. If you want to make a deal happen, you got to make it ugly. That's the only way it happens. You can't get what you want and be the nice guy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion tonight. We're going to have a brief OT. We got to finish this Dame talk and our college football prediction. Next week, Wednesday night, we're going to be back at you in Miami. We want y'all to dial in next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Columbus, Ohio, Ohio State. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to hear from y'all in Buckeye country after beating Notre Dame. Chicago, that's going to be 10 p.m. Central. What's going on with Justin Fields? I drafted him in the Fantasy League. I'm ready to cut him already. I want to hear from y'all in Chicago. In the Mountain Time Zone, Denver, can y'all repeat? 9 p.m. Mountain Time Zone, I want to hear from y'all. California, L.A., San Diego, Fresno, Sacramento, that's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. In the whole Pac-12 conference, we want to hear from y'all. Y'all got a thing going this year. All right. Wednesday night next week, people. Good night.
Yeah, and I was the only one that picked my Buckeyes last week. And I was like, no, they ain't going to win them, dude. Why?
You pick,
let's go, Ohio State.
You were picking with your heart, man.
I was picking with my mind. You know those things can't be Ohio State. Stop it.
We were playing with a handicap. We didn't know they could only play 10 defenders. We didn't know that.
That's their damn fault for being stupid.
I need to listen to that show last week.
Ryan Dean's an awful dude.
I know I can have the cup, too.
He was awful, and I loved every piece of it. That might be a turning point for them. I don't know how it's going to go for the rest of the year. But, yeah, they had to have that. So, yeah, I definitely got some more gray hairs. Oh, so I'll be telling you this story real quick. So I was out watching it with my friends. I'm watching it, and everybody's kind of, being quiet around me. And I'm not telling them to be quiet around me, but I'm like, I'm locked in, right? My homeboy walks in. He's like 6'4", 290. He's ridiculous. He's just like a silverback. So he walks in and sits down, and everybody's quiet, and we're watching the game. And he turns around and says, "What the hell's going on in here? Why the fuck is everybody so quiet? Hey, man, fuck you and fuck Ohio State." I said, "Hey, yo, I ain't even say nothing to nobody, bro. We're supposed to be friends. What are we talking about right now?" I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, you got everybody in here walking on eggshells around you." I said, "Man, I haven't said a word to anybody. I am just watching the game." So this is like the third or fourth quarter. So, of course, that last play hits, and I go completely off. Fuck you, hell yes, and just people looking like, oh my God, people are really fighting this big dude. I said, hell no, dude. What do I look like fighting him? First of all, that's my homeboy, but even if he's fighting, he's freaking a defensive tackle. I'm not fighting Aaron Donald in the bar over Ohio State the other day.
Run, you better run.
Run, Jake. No, that's my whole point. But it was weird because people that didn't know us was looking like, oh, my God, are they going to get into it? No. No, we are not going to get into it. That is a big old
pick
dude.
You up and body slam you, JQ.
I mean, listen, we're his pinky finger. This dude is huge. Hell no.
Shout out to the dude who wanted to fight Ray Lewis in the club.
Right. Like, that's crazy.
No.
Not a good decision.
Oh, man.
That
was a heck of a game, though, Ohio State Notre Dame. I was flipping back and forth between the LSU-Arkansas game that night, which was also a good game. Arkansas always plays LSU tough. But I was flipping back and forth in that game. So, that was a game. And then watching the state, Oregon State that night, too. I was flipping between all three of those games Saturday night. That was a good game as well. Yeah, a really good game.
College football.
Yeah.
Great play.
But getting back to that the Dame trade, hey, Miami, the best they were willing to offer was Tyler Hero, man. That wasn't going to cut it. I mean, all you had was Tyler Hero and a bunch of future first-round picks. And I think based on what was on the market, I think it's really going to depend on what the Trailblazers get in return for Jrue Holiday here, too, and then we can make a final assessment on this trade. But ultimately, you traded Nurkic and Lillard, and you got Jrue Holiday and DeAndre Ayton. I don't think that's a bad return. And then you got future first-round picks with this trade as well. So I don't think it's a horrible trade for them, but I think we got to wait and see what they get back in return for Jrue Holiday, too. If they're going to get multiple players, or they're going to get more future first-round picks, and then we can probably make a better assessment of where they stand on this trade. But, yeah, definitely a huge win for Milwaukee. And so we're going to see what happens here. If you look at Milwaukee, look at what Phoenix has done, and if Michael Porter Jr. can become a fourth big-time weapon for Denver, then, I mean, they're right back in that conversation, too, again, because Aaron Gordon turned out to be a legitimate number three for that team. So, I mean,
Michael Porter Jr. should be the number three, and Aaron Gordon should be number four if Michael Porter Jr. lives up to where he's supposed to be, especially with that damn contract. He damn sure better be number three. But to your point, I think you're right. And it's amazing how we view that trade in terms of Lillard and his contract, because for me, for Portland, given where you are, you're stuck in that purgatory that we keep talking about of just good enough to be close to it but not good enough to win it all. So you get out from underneath that contract that he signed with you, and you can give that money to all those young guys now if they pan out, and you get those picks. And, I mean, that's what you're going to have to do. Portland's going to have to follow the kind of that OKC model where we gather these picks, we throw a whole bunch of them against the board, see which sticks, and then pick our core based out of these picks and move forward from there. But not having a $55, $60, $63 million contract for Damian Lillard where you have to give him the ball because he's Damian Lillard, and you have to give all that money to that one guy,
but you've not good enough around him really to get to where you really want to be. I think it's a fantastic trade for Portland. I'm with you. I think if I'm Portland, I hold on to Drew for a second. Don't be knee-jerk to say, I got to win this trade and just go give him to somebody for something. Let him play. Yep. Let him show his value. Let somebody else get, you know, a couple of things, get into a bidding war over him. Like, man, if we have Drew Holiday on this team, maybe we can challenge Denver or L.A. or Phoenix or Milwaukee or Boston or Miami. And you let them battle against each other. So I'm with you. I think you guys are kind of give it a second. If you're Portland, you hold on to him. I hope he doesn't get hurt, but you hope other little teams start battling each other and kind of getting a bidding war amongst themselves. And for Phoenix, you got to get rid of Aiden's contract. You've already got Beal. You've got Booker. You've got KD. You can't have him and 11 other dudes making minimum salary. You got to get rid of Aiden. You got to fill out that roster a little bit and get some spots to find on that team. So, for me, I know people are going to kind of kill Phoenix for that, but if you look what they got for what they have already in terms of those big three, they needed space fillers. They needed people to play their roles on that team. So that was their goal in that whole thing. And plus, Aiden had killed some of his value on the market with the way he was carrying himself. So they sold a little low on Aiden, I get it, but they also were like, let's go into camp where people know what their roles are, what they're supposed to do for this team. So I'm not mad at all three of them. I mean, you got to give Giannis what he wants to keep him there. That's a great addition to Lillard. You got to move on if you're Portland. You got to fill out that roster if you're Phoenix. So it kind of works for all three of them, but I'm super interested to see what they get for Drew Holiday if you're Portland, because that could be really the crowning piece of that trade if they get some picks or a rotational player out of that and kind of just commit that trade for Portland.
But we're saying that, that means you're accepting a scratch-off ticket. You hope this Jrue Holiday trade turns into something, possibly. But I don't want DeAndre Ayton around Scoop. Like, the reason Phoenix was willing to trade off of DeAndre Ayton wasn't because of ability. It's his attitude. It's his approach to the game. It's his inability to connect with teammates who, as we know, hated his guts. So I don't know if I want him around my young boys. And again, I get it. Like, I think Holiday ends up in Philly or Toronto, so one of these other places. But I don't know how much of a haul you're going to get for him. So I think they could have gotten a lot more. As far as Phoenix, yeah, Nurk is not what he used to be. Like, he's probably trading for the carcass of Nurk at this point. It's not really who he was early on before the leg injuries. But it's addition by subtraction because he's going to be a team guy. He'll give you whatever he can. And ultimately, you got enough shots to go around as is. Beal, Durant.
He's going to be a better fit.
That's where all those shots are. So
I'm much better fit with Phoenix than DeAndre Ayton. Yeah, he's going to be more of a defense rebounding guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think how much money just gave Ayton, and you trade for Beal, and you already got Booker and Durant. So I think it's more I agree that piece of it is Ayton's the way he carries himself. But another piece of it was, man, we can't pay all four of these jokers. Like, we got to – and then get, like, 11 dudes on minimum contract to feel like we're going to win. Like, you got to take Aiton's money and spread it around amongst 2, 3, 4 other players that you kept him in the fold after him and Monty got into it. Aiton was making good money, too. And you got those other three that you know you're going to build around. You had to get Aiton's contract off the books. And people are now in these days of the hard apron and all that, aren't willing just to give you a whole bunch of that when they know that you're trying to get rid of that money because you don't want to pay four of those dudes debt. You're going to pay three, and you still don't pay Chell paying those three. When you had a fourth one into that with Ayton, you had to get off that contract. So I hear you, but you had to get off of it if you're fitting. You had to.
Yeah. I'm going to put a bow on this.
I'm
going to put a bow on this, and you can finish that thing because I like everyone went because a lot of times the Blazers have been notorious for making – bad picks, you know, or not picking Jordan, picking Greg Oden. They got it right with Scoot Henderson. And this is why I love what you talked about. So now you're going to build around Scoot. This is now your team, my guy. You've gotten rid of Dame. And now, like you talked to the young boys, they got Chris Murray in the draft. I agree with you guys. I think they're probably going to trade Drew Holiday. They're going to get somebody else kind of, you know, compete. They're going to have a young team. They're going to be running, man. This is going to be an exciting team. I know I'd love to hear Gary's thoughts about this, too, but it's going to be interesting to see, but it's kind of a new era, right? So maybe there's some new life in this team. Obviously, a lot of love for Dame. You can't replace that type of, you know, explosive player, but it's just a new time, right? So this is a situation, too, where maybe they become more traditional. Yeah. Maybe they get out of that, you know, two guards kind of thing, but it's Scoot's team. He has a full reign of this, and I can't wait to see what happens in season two. So I think it's great for the Blazers to kind of start anew, they're going to make a trade. They're going to get somebody that kind of fits and complements that team some way, somehow, like we talked about. And they're going to add to that, too. So it's going to be an interesting era. So putting the bill on that, too. What were you going to say, Naj, on that?
Yeah.
I kind of want to try to take your thunder.
No, go ahead to Gary, man. I was talking so much. I didn't know Gary was still here because I didn't hear him jump in on the topic.
He's not on.
Yeah.
He's not on. Yeah,
he's on.
Just
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
the last thing I would say, the advantage that Portland has in this situation with the Jrue Holiday trade, they know what teams that were interested in Dame Lillard, right? And a lot of those same teams are going to be interested in Jrue Holiday, right? So they got a little bit of head start on this situation on, you know, where Jrue Holiday is going to be moved. And I can guarantee you this. Almost every contender in this league is going to consider a way that they can acquire Jrue Holiday, right? He's one of the top two-way players in the league. I know, you know, Jimmy Butler gave him the business. But, yeah, when you talk about defending other point guards, he's one of the better two-way players in this league, and there's going to be a ton of interest in Jrue Holiday in this league. I can guarantee you. I can see the Lakers trying to figure out a way to add him. I can see even Miami trying to figure out a way to add him. I can see the Sixers trying to figure out a way to add him. I can even see the Celtics trying to figure out a way to add him, you know, to try to get some of that toughness back they lost to Marcus Smart, right? So there's going to be a lot of teams that's going to be trying to figure out a way that they can add a player of that caliber.
Yeah, until they look at that contract. Remember, he's owed a lot of money. This is a guy who talked about retirement at one point last year, owed a lot of money. I don't know, like, we call him a two-way player, but I don't know how much of a two-way player he is at this stage. Yes, he's really good defensively, but offensively, is he really that good, like a difference maker? I don't know, man. I don't know. And yes, he did cost me money last
year.
He's not
a great
playoff, so I am buying.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
He's a good offensive player. I would say he's great.
He's going to be your third or fourth best scorer. But you're counting on that defense and his leadership more so than his going. And I mean, but someone's going to give you a lot of protection type pick, top 15, 16, but if you throw that into the other hall that you get, then you look at it in terms of, I'm gathering these first picks with all these other young guys, and then I just go keep trying to get the most style I can get in the first round. You're going to miss on a couple of those picks. It happens. But if you hit on a couple of two, then now I've got a core, and you move forward like that. That's who Portland's going to have to be. They're going to have to be Oklahoma City. Nobody's really trying to go to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a knock on Portland. It's just where these guys are. Like, you got to get some young dudes on these young contracts and that don't mind living in Utah and Portland and Oklahoma City. And find those guys and try to, you know, say, okay, I'm going to build on these three or four. That's who Portland's going to have to be. It is what it is. They had a great run with Dame and CJ to a certain extent, but it's just time to move on.
Jrue Holiday, he's owed 34 next year and 37 the year after, and he has a player option, which I'm sure he's going to exercise to get that other 38. So... This ain't a small deal in getting him. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of people are going to drop out just for cost.
Interesting. We'll see. Somebody's going to say. We'll see. Let's go through. We're going to pick your last couple topics. I know we're going to wrap this up, too. I'm going to go in a couple things here. I'm going to really quickly talk about, we talked about can anyone beat the Braves in the playoffs? And of course, that's a crazy question because anyone can be beat, especially some teams that's playing hot. I do feel like Ronald Acuna missed out last year on the World Series team. He's going to do everything he can. Not that he hasn't been doing. He's been having a phenomenal season. So he wants to get a World Series ring playing. So I like them for that too. I'm going to talk really quickly also about who's going to win the Coach of the Year for this year. I'm kind of making a joke, but it's going to be Adrian Griffin for the Bucks. This just seems like a natural situation because he's got freaking, you know, Dame. I'm kind of joking, but anyway, we'll see about that too. But that's what I'm kind of thinking as far as Coach of the Year is. Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking, man, because you just basically, you're going to be the best team moment. So, yeah, go ahead.
I thought the same thing, Dre. It's Adrian Griffin or Frank Vogel from Phoenix, right? You know, based on them being first-year coaches and the type teams that they're inheriting, right? So those are the two guys that came to my mind, too.
Yep. There it is. All right, what do you want to say? What do you want to add? Any topic? I know – it's tough to talk about Colorado. I know they lost, Sanders. Shador Sanders got in obviously all the shit everyone's talking about running with the Will team. It's going to be tough versus USC this week, man. I think they're going to take a loss and Caleb's going to be ready. But it's just
it's just kind of unfortunate. You want to have best on best. I'd love to see the full healthy Colorado team. You know, it probably would be more of a challenge still, but still been a better game, I think.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Well, they can't compete in the trenches yet, right? And, you know, Deion did a hell of a job turning over that roster. You know, he got some really good players on the perimeter. He's got a really good secondary. But the one area he was not able to flip just yet was offensive and defensive linemen. And you saw that. I mean, they got whipped in the trenches in that game against Oregon. And it's going to be more the same against USC, right? I don't think they're going to be beat as bad to USC, but they're going to get beat bad again. USC did a tremendous job as well overhauling their defense in the transfer portal. I still don't think they have an elite defense, but it's better than what they had on last year. And I like USC to go on the road. And I'll just go through the college football predictions if y'all want to chime in. I got Tulsa over Temple. They're starting off AAC play. Tulsa's got a pretty solid defense. Temple's got some pretty good wide receivers, but I'm going to go Tulsa there. Utah at Oregon State. Hey, Utah's got a tremendous defense. They're not really scoring a lot of points. They're still missing Cam Rising. I'm not sure if he's going to be back for this game yet. Oregon State can flat out run the football, man. And even though DJ is going to hit or miss, I think Oregon State wins this game at home. The way they're running the football, Jonathan Smith doing a tremendous job there. If they don't have Cam Rising, I don't think Utah can score enough points to beat Oregon State. I'm going to go 24-17 Oregon State in that one. I think Texas will beat Kansas.
I bet you a shot to Utah win. Go for it. If you bet on DJ, you've lost. I bet you a shot that Utah wins that game. Go for it.
I'm betting on the Oregon State running game. not necessarily DJ. I'm betting on the running game. I like Texas over Kansas. I think they win by two touchdowns. I'm going 31-17 Texas. I'm going LSU on the road over Ole Miss here. Jaden Daniels, 2 weeks in a row, SEC Offensive Player of the Week. He's been phenomenal. I think they put up 34 against Ole Miss. I'm going to go 34-20. LSU's defense not the best, but offensively they're playing really well. I'm going to go 34-20 LSU on the road. And here's my surprise. I'm picking Notre Dame.
That was going to be my topic.
Riley Leonard and Duke were up there.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
24-20.
Yeah.
And a six point spread, man, that was going to be my topic because I'm biased. I need Notre Dame to win this game to help the Ohio State doesn't make down the stretch. But that is a tough back-to-back with the way Duke is playing. I would love to be able to sports gamble here in Georgia and take Duke in those 6 points. That's going to be a really good game. I'm with you. I'm taking Duke with the spread. I don't know if they're going to win outright, but I think they're going to cover the spread in that game. That's a tough game that they didn't think they were going to have back-to-back. You know, Ohio State took this week off. Smart on them to take the bye week off of after being in Notre Dame. How does Notre Dame feel after losing that game on the last play of the game at home? Not got to travel.
It's a physical game, too.
They're very physical games. They beat up. And then they got to go on the road and play a really good quarterback who can run the ball at Duke and Raleigh. Yeah, that was going to be the only one I wanted to talk about. That is going to be a game that nobody saw coming. Duke and Notre Dame being a battle. But I'm really interested. That's the one I'm most excited to see this week, to be quite honest.
I'll just say this. Go to Prize Picks, go to FanDuel, or you know whatever state allows you to do your bets for prop bets for over-under. And Shedeur Sanders is 307 yards right now. Go under. Go to his two wide receivers. Go under. So I just gave you three free plays. All you got to do is add something else to it, and you can have a good weekend this weekend. But,
there you go, man. We got our own.
And I'm rooting for Marcus Freeman, man. I'm rooting for him. So I hope he pulls it off. But, dude, he got all week to yell at people about attention to detail. We had 10 players on defense on the last play of the game. So maybe he can, get his coaching on and hype him up, man. I don't know, man. I'm hoping for the brother.
I'm rooting for it, too.
Listen, he's an ex-Ohio State linebacker.
I want them to win except when they play us. But when you have that kind of emotional game that you've been pointing to all
for the Cavs,
he's an Ohio State linebacker, bro. I like Marcus Freeman, but not against Ohio State. But my thing is, when you play a game like that, it's a hype game that you pointed to. We can talk what we want to talk about. Everybody knew that was the game for them in the first part of the season as a measuring test game. And you lose it like that, like you said, with 10 men on the field, very physical game. You had to hear about it all week. These dudes are trained. They're still young guys. Can you get them emotionally invested when it's just Duke on the other side of the field? Like if you're playing a USC back when they played them or a Michigan or something like that, you can get them hyped up because of the name. But it's Duke. And you can say that Duke, they should have your respect. But when they see Duke over there, do they take that for granted after a physical week and go in there and get smacked in the mouth in the beginning and not be able to recover? That's what I say for Notre Dame, is it's a back-to-back.
And that environment, it's hard to imagine the environment for a Duke football game in Durham, but it's going to be lit on Saturday night. It's going to be lit.
Them terrible Cameron crazy kids going to be out there. Yeah, man.
Yeah. And it's hard to get them up in back-to-back weeks. You don't see LSU or Alabama or Ohio State normally play two really emotional games back-to-back. You might get one, and it might be a conference game next week, and you know it might be difficult home or away, but it's not one that's just so emotional. Like you just said, Duke is going to be super ready for them. Can you get those 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds to get themselves back up again after being deflated like that? That's why I worry about them if I was a Notre Dame fan of, damn, can we get up again for another Saturday night game, this time on the road? So,
facts. Dude, I can already
see. So, Riley Leonard,
Coach K arrives at midnight with pizza for Duke students. I can already see it.
Right.
It's going to be an environment.
Right.
Yeah. Let's hope Riley Leonard does his homework. And y'all supporting the brother. Y'all should be supporting Vance Joseph too, man. Support that brother, man, because he needs our support.
I will advocate for his firing. that brother there got to go. He got to go.
I texted y'all the other day. I was surprised he hadn't got fired. I said, he's probably gone after three games.
Yeah.
Sean Payton's so shaky right now, he probably scared to fire him because it'll reflect badly on him. He's probably shaky, man.
What would happen is he's going to fire Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph comes back and comes to coach at some point and just like whips him again. Karma is a bitch like that.
Vance Joseph was already the head coach in Denver, so it ain't going to happen again.
And can I give a quick recommendation before we go? Quick recommendation. Check out Pablo Torre's podcast. He did a whole show about Russell Wilson. Dog. It's really, 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 really good. Really good.
Okay.
Check it out. It's a whole show about Russell Wilson and just who he's always been, like a weird guy. Mike Tyson's son, former Vikings coach Mike Tyson, his son was Russell's roommate at Wisconsin. So he's just on there just kind of breaking down like why Russ is so awkward, weird, and everything else. Not a bad guy. Not a mean guy. Not an evil guy.
It's just weird.
It's just weird. Yeah. It's just
weird. Yeah.
What's the podcast?
It's Pablo Torre's podcast, the guy from ESPN.
Yeah.
But he has a new podcast. Damn, I can't think of the title.
Yeah, I heard what Sean Payton told him in the preseason, man.
Okay.
Stop kissing all the effing babies. You're running for the political office.
Yeah.
There were some tweets. I think Jerry Jeudy was like, I guess him and Tua was tweeting back and forth, and he's like, "Yo, man, fins up." And he's like, "Man, don't tweet me this week, man. I can't talk to you this week, man." After that ass kicking, he's like, "Don't even talk to me, man. I got to talk to you next week." It was like they were teammates at Alabama. He was like, "Man, I can't even talk to you this week, man." That shit was hilarious.
I've never seen NFL players quit to that extent. I've never seen nobody get beat to sleep and quit like that.
Me too,
not today.
Okay. I'm going to bed.
Good night, y'all. Wow. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week, gentlemen. Be good. Appreciate you guys.
All right,
thanks, Rob. Thanks, Dodge. Thanks, JQ.
Peace.
Peace.
Bye, bro.